Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Happy Friday, Packers fans. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast, of course, at Pack-A-Day Podcast, 365 days a year. Thanks so much for finding us today. We've got a lot to get into. We had our first game of the season. We've got an updated injury report. We're going to make some predictions on the year. We'll get to all of that. Before we get there, shout out our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, Josh Sinosky, Boz, and John Day. Thank you guys so much for signing up. Also want to shout out our amazing sponsor, Luigi's Frozen Pizzas. If you haven't checked them out yet, what are you waiting for? Here's what I need you to do. I have a call of action for you today. We need to make the Pack-A-Day pizza a thing. We've got to make it, whether it's the Pack-A-Day pizza or the victory pizza or the Pack-A-Day victory pizza, we've got to make it a thing. So here's what you need to do. Follow Luigi's on social media at Luigi's Pizza. DM them, tweet at them, put it in the comments below. Whatever you need to do, we've got to make this thing happen. So Pack-A-Day pizza, put what you think should be on the pizza. And then let's get this thing rolling. Either a victory pizza or a Pack-A-Day pizza. Either way, we've got to make it happen. Extra cheese for sure. That's what I'm voting for. I could go a few different ways with different toppings, but I definitely want extra cheese on it. After a victory, I feel like you want that extra cheese. I'm all in. So we got to make this happen. Follow them, of course, on social media at Luigi's Pizza and luigispizza.com. All right. Today, we're going to be getting into our predictions. That's going to be our main topic. What I want to tell you in advance, before we even get there, I've got a couple other things I want to get to before we get there. But before we even get there, this is for entertainment purposes only. Now, you might think I'm like saying this from like a gambling standpoint of like, oh, you know, don't gamble on this or whatever. No, I'm telling you this because this is just for fun. Don't take these too seriously. I don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen. I'm making some bold choices in some of my picks. I'm making some not so bold choices in some of my picks. We'll get to all of them. Here's why it's for entertainment purposes, though. It will do nothing for me, no matter what. If at the end of the year, I get every single prediction right, none of you are going to care. I'm not going to be able to be like, haha, look at me. I got everything right. You don't care. You're not going to be like, oh, yep, Andy was right. But if I get everything wrong, you are going to love that. You're going to absolutely love it. So this is for you in about, what, 5 months from now, in at the end of February, when you get to look back at it and be like, wow, Andy got every single prediction wrong. You're welcome in advance. Before we get there, though, we did have our first game of the season, Cowboys-Eagles. This is how the game went. This is Austin Gale pointed this out. This is how the game went. Touchdown, 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 field goal, touchdown, field goal, field goal. Then fumble, punt, 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 turnover on downs, kneel downs. Talk about a night and day difference of a game. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 straight scoring drives, including 4 straight touchdowns to start the game. 8 straight scoring drives, followed by fumble, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 punts, a turnover on downs, and a kneel down. I mean, that's pretty remarkable in a difference between the first part of the game and the second part of the game. I think it's a couple things, right? I think, first of all, the offenses came out humming. You could tell they were ready to go. Jalen Carter getting ejected certainly did the Philadelphia Eagles no favors. I thought both defenses showed some deficiencies. And then you could also see, I think the offenses ran out of gas a little bit. I think players, again, not having that full preseason to get in a full four-quarter game shape, I think that played a part of it. You certainly had some mistakes too, right? If Miles Sanders doesn't fumble, if CeeDee Lamb doesn't drop 1,000 passes, we're talking about a much different outcome and probably a few more scoring opportunities in some of those situations. But definitely a very interesting game. I thought it was a fun game. Thought it was good back and forth. I thought Dak was really good. Don't box score scout this one. He had some unbelievable throws, was extremely aggressive, throwing down the field, attacking Philadelphia's defensive backs. And I thought he was fantastic. And unfortunately, his wide receiver, specifically CeeDee Lamb, did not want to cooperate. If he gets a few catches from CeeDee, man, Dallas might win that game. I mean, legitimately, they might win that game. I was impressed by Dallas's offense outside of CeeDee dropping a bunch of passes. That defense, though, you know who they could have used? Micah Parsons, especially as Jalen Hurts was scrambling around early in that game. the lack of Micah was screaming off the tape, or at least off the TV screen on that game. Donovan Ezeraku got one pressure on Jordan Mailata. I mean, that's a tough bet, you know, for a team that wants to say like they've got the defensive ends. It's a really tough game because you've got Mailata and Lane Johnson, the best tackle duo in all of football. So good luck to any of the defensive ends in this game. But there were moments in the second half from that Cowboys defense, but it certainly felt like they were missing Micah Parsons in a big way. Kenny Clark, I don't know if they credit him for a half sack, but was in on a pressure on that one play. Saw a couple other things. AJ Dillon had a couple carries for Philadelphia. But overall, Philly was, I thought, the better team. They executed better down the stretch, and Jalen Hurts really helped them out early in the game and late in the game, even on that final drive, using his legs and utilizing those to his advantage to pick up some big touchdowns and some big first downs later in the game. Speaking of the Philadelphia Eagles, it was reported on Thursday that the Eagles were trying to be very aggressive in getting Micah Parsons from Dallas, and Dallas wanted nothing to do with it whatsoever. Thank you, Dallas, first of all. And thank you, I guess, happenstance that the Cowboys and Eagles just happened to be in the same division in this situation. I don't think Green Bay would have enjoyed Philadelphia upping the cost or being involved in those negotiations. That can only end worse for Green Bay. Either A, they don't get Micah Parsons, and even worse than that, he ends up on Philadelphia, or B, it raises the cost for Green Bay, which is not what you want either. So yeah, that I'm thankful that, you know, Dallas was saying no to Philly. I talked about it last week. I have no problem with Dallas trading him in conference, none whatsoever. I do think when it's in the division, you have to be a little bit more careful, or at least if you're going to do it, there needs to be a significant tax to do so. They just didn't want those conversations at all, understandably so. And thankfully for us in Green Bay, or as Packers fans, Micah Parsons ends up in Green Bay and not certainly in Philadelphia. Meanwhile, Packers continued to wheel and deal. I say wheel, no pun intended, kind of pun intended. Daniel Whelan does get that contract extension. This is one where I predicted this one that was going to be after, after Zach Tom, the next big extension was going to be Daniel Whelan. It just so happened Matt Orzech kind of got in the way in between, and Orzech got it first, but now Whelan gets it. And the good news here is you've got your battery of kicker, punter, long snapper all now signed for the foreseeable future. Brandon McManus gets the big deal in the offseason. Matt Orzech just signed his extension, and now Daniel Whelan gets his as well. No terms yet as of recording this of what Whelan actually got monetarily or years or anything like that, but deservedly so. He's looked fantastic all offseason, just absolutely kicking the snot out of the ball. He's been better with placement, better inside the 20. He just looks like a complete an all-around punter right now. Hopefully that continues to trend in the right direction. But again, now Green Bay has Orzech, McManus, and Whelan all tied up for the foreseeable future. And hopefully that just keeps it so they don't have to worry about those specialist positions. I would think that there's a good chance that the next extension now comes in the offseason, and Tucker Kraft would probably be the one that would immediately come to mind. But we will see if Green Bay has any other tricks up their sleeve with any other contract extensions here in the near future. Injury report. We've got good news overall for Green Bay. Everyone practiced for Green Bay. Nate Hobbs, Jaden Reed both returned to practice. That was a huge sign for Nate Hobbs, obviously Jaden as well, but for Hobbs to have any chance to show that he can go out there, practice in some capacity. We'll see if he can practice again on Friday and what that means for his availability on Sunday against Detroit, but his presence could be massive against Amon-Ra St. Brown in the slot, and hopefully he can be out there, and not just out there, right, but functioning at a level high enough to be worthy of being out there as well. He could be, again, a big-time impact player in the secondary, both as an outside corner and in the slot. If I were Green Bay, by the way, even if he does play, he's not getting a full complement of snaps. I'm not playing him on base downs on the outside. I'll play Valentine and Nixon on the outside, and then in slot, I'm going to take, Bullard off the field. So you've got your two nickels. I'm going to say in your big nickel, you're going to go Valentine and Nixon with Bullard in the slot for this week. And then once I get to more obvious passing downs, that's where I'm going to put Hobbs in the slot and then keep Nixon and Valentine out this week. That's what I would do. We'll see what Green Bay does, but I'll just be happy first and foremost if Nate Hobbs can get out there. Your overall injury report for Green Bay, you had multiple players that were limited, including Zane Anderson, Nate Hobbs, Elton Jenkins, Micah Parsons, Jaden Reed, Baron Sorrell, Dontavian Wicks, and Savion Williams. And then your full participant was Jordan Love. We need to touch base a little bit on Jordan Love, though, because Matt LaFleur kind of made mention of, hey, that thumb is still not to the point where he's doing full handoffs and things like that. There was some footage of Jordan doing some left-handed handoffs, so that's a good sign. But, you know, Matt did say on numerous occasions, or at least a couple times in the press conference, that it could really affect how Green Bay goes about some of the stuff that they want to do if Jordan can't just do the left-handed stuff the way that he would want. Hopefully he's good to go by Sunday and it's not a concern. You know, you have to consider too, like, you know, just sort of the grip strength and the ball carriage and all that sort of stuff as you get into these games, and just risk of re-injury too. You know, if he lands on it the wrong way, all of those things are going to be noteworthy. I think even if something happens, they'll just play him out a shotgun or pistol and he should still be good to go. But that left thumb repairing itself, getting healthy as time goes on, but certainly not 100% as of yet. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Listen, you and I make decisions every single day, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. Don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. With the addition of Micah Parsons, I have never been more hyped for football season. And not only should it be an epic season for Green Bay, but I'm looking forward to an even more epic season on Prize Picks. You better believe that I'm expecting a Micah Parsons sack right away against Detroit in Week 1. And I'll be keeping a very close eye on some other players this week as well, including Ja'Marr Chase, Baker Mayfield, and the newly engaged Travis Kelce. Now listen, Prize Picks is simple. Just pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections. If you get your picks right, you could cash in. One of the reasons I enjoy Prize Picks so much is their flex play feature, which means you can still cash on your lineup even if it isn't perfect. You can double your money even if one of your picks doesn't hit. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. What's going on, everybody? We finally made it to football season, and that means it's grilling season as well. There's nothing like a lineup of delicious burgers and steaks to enhance your game day experience. That's why this year I did not mess around, and I went right to Omaha Steaks for their amazingly tender meat for this upcoming weekend. I am legitimately drooling over them already. I've had Omaha Steaks on numerous occasions, and there's nothing better to throw on the grill than their USDA-certified tender steaks that are melt-in-your-mouth delicious. And the best part is they are currently having a huge sale, so you can save site-wide on omahasteaks.com. Plus, our listeners get an additional $35 off with promo code PACKADAY at checkout. Trust me, take them up on this offer, use the code, and get some of their grass-fed, grain-finished beef, and just wait until you see the marbling on these things. You are going to be blown away. So get fired up for fall grilling with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use promo code PACKADAY at checkout. That's an extra $35 off with promo code PACKADAY at checkout. See site for details. From a Lions standpoint, only two updates to their injury report. Keyote Awasaka was now a full participant, and Jamarco Jones was added to the injury report as a limited participant. All right, with that, let's get into our main topic for the day. I'm going to go over predictions. I'm going to go with the Packers, my Packers predictions first, and then I'm going to go with my NFL predictions after that. I would love to hear what you guys think. Actually, I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know if I need to hear the constant, like, what were you thinking in this situation? I get it. I understand it. We're not all going to be on the same page just for fun. So let's do it. Let's have fun. But I do want to see what you guys have to say as well. So hit it up in the comments with what you think is going to happen this upcoming season. All right, Packers awards first. MVP, Jordan Love. I just think he's going to have a really big season. And this is just one of those debates of, like, you're the quarterback, you're the most important player. And if Jordan just goes out and doesn't have a good season, the high expectations for this team are just dead on arrival. You're not making it past that, right? So he's by far and away, to me, the most important Packer still. You can make an argument that Micah Parsons is the best. You got Xavier McKinney, Josh Jacobs. He may not be the best Packer, but I do think he's the most important, and I do think he will be the MVP of this upcoming season. Offensive player of the year, I toyed with this one a little bit, but I'm just going chalk here as well. I'm going Josh Jacobs. He's going to have a significant role in the offense. He is that bell cow. He's got the ability to carry the load and not have it be really that wear and tear just kind of pile up on him. Knock on wood, of course. but I think he's going to be in for another big season. I think Green Bay is going to be able to dictate terms. If teams are going too high safeties, I think they're going to run the ball. I think they'll be better with Jordan Morgan as a depth piece, a rotational piece, with Aaron Banks on that line instead of Josh Myers, and then even with Anthony Belton backing up. By the way, I went out and watched Darian Kennard's tape as well, just as a brief aside here. A kid can play. I was really impressed. He got a full start against the New York Giants last year against some good defensive linemen. And I actually played at right tackle, where I think he's better at right guard. He played right tackle in that game, got some really good reps against Brian Burns. He was impressive. Like, I honestly, after watching that, I'm not so sure he shouldn't be the seventh offensive lineman, meaning you've got your starting five. We'll see where Jordan Morgan is in that, you know, kind of discussion of whether he's rotating with Rashid Walker or not. But it seems like Jordan Morgan would be your sixth. I think Kennard would be my seventh over Anthony Belton. It would be an interesting conversation. Belton is more talented, but I think Kennard is still very talented in his own right. And I just think he's a little bit more game ready right now. But that'd be an interesting conversation. But Kennard can play, by the way. But I do think, going back to Josh Jacobs, that he's going to have a few more people movers on that offensive line, which will help him. I think Josh Myers not being there, who was not a great run blocker, will help him. I think this is going to be a real great opportunity for Josh Jacobs to even expand upon the year that he had a season ago, and maybe even be better in 2025. Offensive rookie of the year, again, going chalk here. We don't need to spend a ton of time on it. I'm going Matthew Golden. I think he is going to have not only a big season, but I was talking to John Papadopoulos, who is on the radio in lacrosse, and he asked me, like, who leads this team in targets? And I said, I think it does end up being Matthew Golden, for wide receivers, by the way. I said, I think it ends up being Matthew Golden. So if you think of it this way, you've got Jaden Reed that's already battling injury issues. Christian Watson's going to be on the PUP list, of course, those first 4 weeks. I just, on those two things alone, I kind of eliminate those two. Don't think it's going to be Savion Williams, Malik Heath, or anyone else, like, you know, Mecole Hardman pulled up or anything like that. So you get down to Dontayvion Wicks, Matthew Golden, and Romeo Doubs. I just think Doubs and Golden end up playing more snaps than Dontayvion Wicks. I think Wicks ends up a little bit lower on that pecking order. So it comes down to me to Romeo Doubs or Matthew Golden. And I think of it when, like, you have everyone healthy. The lineup I want to see is Jaden Reed, Matthew Golden, and Christian Watson. That's the trio that I want out there. I think Matthew Golden is going to continue to stay on the field if he stays healthy all season long. It'll be interesting to see how much they put on his plate, how much he can handle from a mental standpoint. Can he handle all the different positions at wide receiver? We shall see. But I think Matthew Golden ends up with the most most snaps on offense of the wide receivers. Defensive player of the year for Green Bay, Edgerrin Cooper. I'm going Edgerrin Cooper on a defense that has Xavier McKinney, on a defense that now has Micah Parsons, Rashawn Gary in that conversation as well. I'm going Edgerrin Cooper. I think he is going to explode on the scene this year. Hopefully not literally. I think he's going to be beyond phenomenal. His speed, athleticism, instincts, especially the speed and athleticism, but the instincts are getting so much better as well, that they're off the charts. I mean, it's off the charts impressive. And I think now, as defenses pay a little bit more attention to Micah Parsons up front, Xavier McKinney in the back, and even you still have Quay Walker as kind of like the main Mike linebacker, and Rashawn Gary is an edge. I just think Edgerrin Cooper is going to fly under the radar a little bit for opposing offenses. And I think that will be their big downfall. I think that's going to be a big mistake. And I think Edgerrin Cooper has a massive year for this Packers defense. Just a quick spoiler here as well, or I guess aside, I actually toyed with, for my season prediction for the NFL, putting Edgerrin Cooper as my defensive player of the year. I think he's going to end up being a Pro Bowl linebacker, and I think he's going to be at least a second team all pro this year. That's how good he's going to be at linebacker. That's my prediction there. So defensive player of the year for Green Bay, Edgerrin Cooper. Defensive rookie of the year, I'm going Warren Brinson. This is a two-man race in all likelihood, and it's probably between Baron Sorrell and Warren Brinson. Maybe Colin Oliver could get in on that at some point. I guess in this year, Stackhouse could be in the conversation as well. I think Brinson's the best of that group. I think he's going to get the most playing time of that group, and I do think he's going to make an impact. So I'm going Warren Brinson as the defensive rookie of the year for Green Bay. Most improved Packer, I'm going Jordan Morgan. I've already seen a big chunk of it. I know it's just preseason. We're not going to crown anyone for that, but just his footwork, his hands, like he just looks like a really good offensive lineman right now. And if he gets any sort of significant playing time, I think he's going to show the world that he is a legitimately good starter out there. And to me, somebody that looked okay at times his rookie year, but not great, and then had all the injuries, now coming back in year two and looking like a legitimate starter, if that ends up being the case, I think he's going to be the most improved player for Green Bay. Biggest disappointment? It's always a tough one. I don't want to necessarily predict a disappointment for anyone, but I'll just say Marshawn Lloyd. He's already going to miss a first part of the season with an injury, which is already a disappointment. And I'm just hoping that this isn't something that continues to linger and he has another season full of injuries. So I'm going to just put him in that category for now. I hope I'm wrong. I hope he comes back and is an unbelievable playmaker to pair with Josh Jacobs. I think he has every right to be when he comes back, but man, these injuries have certainly played a significant role in his early career so far. Breakout player for Green Bay. This might be cheating. I'm going with Matthew Golden here too. I know I already gave him Offensive Rookie of the Year. I'm willing to double up here. I think he is going to be the single most breakout player for the Green Bay Packers. I think he's going to arrive on the scene early and often, and you're going to see some really impressive performances from Matthew Golden this year. My surprise player for Green Bay, I'm going Bo Melton. Bo Melton's going to get time on defense this year. I really, truly believe it. And I think he's going to be up to the task, whether it's via injuries or whether they just want to get him out there for a couple packages or whatever it might be. You're going from a number 7 or 8, maybe 9 wide receiver to switching to corner, and now he's probably the number 4 corner and one injury away from, I think, seeing maybe some potentially significant playing time. I think at some point he's going to get in, and I think he's going to make the most of it, and I think he's going to be Green Bay's surprise performer of this upcoming season. Protector of the year for Green Bay, I'm going Zach Tom. I don't need to break that down that much, so I'm not going to. Zach Tom's their best offensive lineman. I think he'll perform as such. Specialist of the year, I'm going Bo Melton here too. I'm doubling up on Bo Melton. I think Bo Melton is going to be one of the best in the league at covering punts, covering kicks. He's a four unit special teamer. I could even see him getting like a block kick off the edge as a usually use corners on the edges there. He's got that insane speed. I bet he blocks a kick this year. I wouldn't stun me at all. So I'm going to say specialist of the year is Bo Melton. Highest grade for me this upcoming year, I'm going to guess is Jordan Love. Highest grade for PFF this coming year, I'm going to say is Micah Parsons. So those are my Packer awards, predictions at least. MVP Jordan Love, Offensive Player of the Year Josh Jacobs, Offensive Rookie of the Year Matthew Golden, Defensive Player of the Year Adrian Cooper, Defensive Rookie Warren Brinson, Most Improved Jordan Morgan, Biggest Disappointment Marshawn Lloyd, Breakout Player Matthew Golden, Surprise Player Bo Melton, Protector of the Year Zach Tom, Specialist of the Year Bo Melton, Highest Andy grade, Jordan Love. Highest PFF grade, Micah Parsons. We'll be right back. Hey everyone, I have to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've been using before a big night out called Pre-Alcohol. Now, ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Prebiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered prebiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. So just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Now listen, I get it. I was a bit on the fence about pre-alcohol initially myself, but I've now used it for a bachelor party, the college basketball tournament, and recently for a friend's epic 40th birthday party, and I'm legit telling you, it's the real deal. And guess what? Summer is here, which means more opportunities to celebrate the warm weather. And before that backyard barbecue brew, glass of Pinot watching the sunset at the beach, or a cocktail by the campfire, don't forget your ZBiotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great and ready to take on that next day and all that summer has to offer. Go to ZBiotics.com/packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use code packaday at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/packaday and use the code packaday at checkout for 15% off. Make sure to support our sponsors and use that code PACKADAY. All right, season grades. MVP. You guys, some of you will know that I'm a believer of this player. and we're going to about to take it to a whole different level. MVP at plus 2,700 odds. I'm going Baker Mayfield. Not only do I think he's been really good in Tampa and has just found his long-term home, I also think that if he went somewhere good early in his career instead of Cleveland, we would have seen this right away. I don't think it would have taken as long, quite frankly. And then last but not least, having Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and now Emeka Egbuka, amongst others in that wide receiver core, I think he's going to feast with those wide receivers. So I'm going with a long shot here. We're going to get aggressive right away. I'm going Baker Mayfield as my MVP for this upcoming season. Offensive player of the year. This is one I'm definitely going a little bit more chalk on. I'm going Ja'Marr Chase. He's so smooth, so talented, so fast, so strong. He can do everything. Justin Jefferson's already got some injuries that he's battling. So I'm going Ja'Marr Chase on this one. Offensive rookie of the year is a little bit more tough. I could easily see it being Cam Ward, who I really like. I could easily see it being Ashton Jeanty. I'm going Travis Hunter. I think he's going to make the most spectacular plays of this rookie class, both on offense and defense, but I think he's going to primarily play on offense. And for that, I think he ends up getting that offensive rookie of the year. Defensive rookie of the year, Abdul Carter, plus 225. He's the odds-on favorite. I don't think it's going to be close. I think he's going to run away with defensive rookie of the year, plus 225 for Abdul Carter. Like, that's one that I usually don't take any actual action on some of these. That's one that I kind of want real action. I think that's going to be the easiest winner of any of these is Abdul Carter as defensive rookie of the year. Injuries could always happen, but barring injury, I think he just wins it. And I'm so convinced of that. Defensive player of the year, Abdul Carter. I think Abdul Carter is going to come in. I think he's going to have an 18-sack season. I think he's going to lead the league in sacks, and I think he's going to win not only Defensive Rookie of the Year, but I think it'll become a big story, and I think he'll win Defensive Player of the Year as well. So Abdul Carter doubling up Defensive Rookie of the Year and Defensive Player of the Year. It's a crazy prediction. I get it. That's where I'm going with. Plus 5,000, by the way, for Abdul Carter to win Defensive Player of the Year. Comeback Player of the Year, I'm going chalk on this one. Aiden Hutchinson, he's right there with Dak Prescott. But I am going Aiden Hutchinson on this one, plus 275. Coach of the year, this is the one I struggle with the most. I don't know what to do. I went Liam Cohen, plus 1,200. I think Jacksonville will make a push towards the playoffs and look much better. For that, I'll give him the nod. But this could go in like a billion different directions. I didn't have a great feel for this one, but I'll go Liam Cohen, plus 1,200. Assistant coach of the year, I'm going Jeff Hafley. Newfound playmaker in Micah Parsons. We already talked about Edgerrin Cooper, Xavier McKinney. I think this defense is going to be much improved is tough because they were already top 10, but I think they're going to be one that is really difficult for opposing offenses. I think they're going to make a lot of noise, a lot of turnovers. I think Jeff Hafley is going to get a lot of credit for it, and I'm going to give him assistant coach of the year. Last but not least, protector of the year, I'm going Lane Johnson of Philadelphia. He's a stud. He's so hard to get around. And I do think there's a little bit of a legacy sort of award here as the very first one ever. I think Lane Johnson is certainly deserving. So I'm going, Trent Williams could be in that conversation as well, but I'm going to give the nod here to Lane Johnson. So my NFL awards, Baker Mayfield MVP, Ja'Marr Chase Offensive Player of the Year, Travis Hunter Offensive Rookie of the Year, Abdul Carter both Defensive Rookie of the Year and Defensive Player of the Year, Aiden Hutchinson Comeback Player of the Year, Liam Cohen Coach, Jeff Hafley Assistant Coach, and Lane Johnson, your protector of the year. My division winners, AFC East, Buffalo Bills, AFC North, Baltimore Ravens, AFC South, Houston Texans, AFC West, Kansas City Chiefs, with my playoff teams, Denver, Cincinnati, and the LA Chargers. NFC East, Eagles, NFC North, Packers, NFC South, Buccaneers, NFC West, Rams, playoffs, Lions, Vikings, and Commanders. AFC Championship game, Ravens over Broncos, NFC Championship game, Packers over Buccaneers. Super Bowl, Ravens over Packers. I know, I'm sorry. Don't get too upset by it. Again, just for entertainment purposes only. Ravens over Packers, Super Bowl MVP, Lamar Jackson. Packers go 12-5 on the season. They beat the Commanders, the Rams, and the Buccaneers in the playoffs to get to the Super Bowl, but ultimately fall a little bit short against Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. After the season, based on their Super Bowl appearance, Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur both get their contract extensions and are not going anywhere. And Jeff Hafley takes a head coaching job with the San Francisco 49ers after you see a parting of ways with Kyle Shanahan after he doesn't make the playoffs again this season. Some bold predictions in there, like I said, some not so bold predictions in there. Let me know what you guys think. But most importantly, again, tell everyone about the Luigi's Victory Pizza. Tell them it needs to become a thing. We got to make the Pack-A-Day pizza and a Victory pizza. Let's make both of them. Let's make one of each. One, the Pack-A-Day pizza can be the ultra thin crust, and then the Victory pizza can be the self-riser, the fresh dough pizza. I'm cool with that. All right, we've got more football tonight. Give me the Chiefs. I got Chiefs over Chargers in this one. Again, not going super crazy there, but I do think Kansas City gets the job done in Brazil. That is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. Hope you guys enjoyed the conversation. Let me know what you guys think below in the comments. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donna Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Huang, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Easy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkelsinkle, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Gonzusa, Alexander Newell, and Dan Miller. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.